sponsored by Northwest Bank, two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. Great bank with great people. Talked about them earlier today. They will take care of any kind of your banking needs. You have the whole gamut. If you're old school and you have change in your pocket and you have dollars in your wallet and you write checks, they love you. If you're on the other end and you hardly ever talk to them, they love you. They just want you to come in, be a part of their bank, see everything that they can do for you. They're going to make you happy. And if you're happy, they're happy. They are a great bank, great people. Member FDIC, Northwest Bank. My next guest is Chris Tubbs. He is at CM Tubbs on social media. Tubbsy, it's been a long time. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. I tell you, that's where I want to do business right now. Like, if I was in Des Moines, that's where I'd be right there.
You're going to Northwest Bank. Yes.
I'm not going to any place else other than Northwest Bank.
That's my
guy. It's
my
only stop. It's all my banking needs right there. I'll rolled up into one.
That's what they do, and it's awesome.
Convenience.
That's awesome that they do it. Okay. If you were grading Minnesota sports, what's the grade you're giving?
Oh, man. Incomplete. Right now, the Wolves are trending in the right direction. They got a chance to go on a nice little run. The Wild have hit that swoon. I think the clock has hit midnight for the Minnesota Wild right now. I mean, I think there's a little bit of a crash back to reality, and it's kind of bringing everybody down a little bit. But, there's optimism around the Wolves, and I guess you can't beat that.
No, and that's funny because I've watched a bunch of the Wild game, and they're fun to watch. It's just, it's like 2 to 4 minutes every game. It's just weird what's happening. I don't understand it all the time, but I just don't know what it is because I think they're fun to watch. So I still would go see them, but I get what you're saying too, that it's disappointing that they're just not better.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost 6 out of 7, and I think, it's funny because everybody got on Anson Carter from TNT, and he was saying, well, this team doesn't have any depth, and we are the most insecure fan base in the history of fan bases in Minnesota. I mean, somebody says something negative about us, and we just go on this little, rant that nobody likes us. But you look at how this team over the last 6 to 7 games, they're getting bullied. They're getting pushed around by teams that, frankly, there's no reason you shouldn't get rolled by Calgary. There's no reason that you should struggle against the Flyers last night. They need better goaltender. Cam Talbot has almost become a liability in goal for them. You got to add a center. And we knew that this year, we knew there was going to be some growing pains, but I think they got off to such a hot start that I think people were, it was fool's gold, Steen. And I think we know that they've got some glaring holes, and I think they're finally being exposed.
When you look at the Timberwolves, and they've had some great stretches, they've had some good stretches, they've had some stretches that made you kind of, shake your head and try to figure out, of everything that they have, and they have a lot of talent, what are they missing? What's that one piece that you think would take them from being 34-29 and maybe getting them closer to 39-22?
They're missing a power forward. They have a real hard time rebounding, especially on the defensive glass. Charlotte, I think a couple weeks ago, they had an NBA high, like 29 offensive rebounds. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And in the Western Conference, you're going to have, if Draymond Green is healthy for Golden State, you're going to have to deal with him. You're going to have to deal with DeAndre Ayton from Phoenix. Nikola Jokic from Denver. You got a lot of bigs that you are going to have to contend with. And Anthony Edwards has been really streaky. D'Angelo Russell, really streaky. But at the end of the day, if you can't get more physical in the paint, you can have all the sizzle in the world, but if you don't have the stake, this team could be, they might win a game in the play-in tournament, but if you can't consistently rebound, they're going to have some problems winning a playoff series when it gets to it.
Once again, we're talking to Chris Tubbs. He's at CM Tubbs on social media. How close is Carl Anthony Towns to being a top five player, and what does he need to do to get there if you don't think he's there?
I like Cat. He's a good dude. I think he's finally happy in Minnesota. But I don't in terms of being a top five player in the league, I don't think he's top 10. I don't think he's top 15. His skill set, I mean, he won the three-point shooting contest, which is great for a big. His game is solid, but I think one thing he's got to do is he's got to keep himself together, because he unravels when things don't go his way and he gets bullied around and calls go against him. He needs to keep his composure. That is the biggest problem with Carl Anthony Towns. And he has to be a little smarter offensively, because he's, you know, up here we were familiar with Randy Moss and all of the offensive pass interference calls. It's kind of the same thing with Cat. He leads the NBA in offensive fouls this season, and that becomes a problem if things start to go. It unravels quickly, and he can't stop the snowball. If he can do that, I think he can vault himself into top 10 category. I don't think there's any question.
When you're talking about baseball today, they were talking about the four teams that vetoed the last one was up there, and it's the Reds, the Tigers, the Angels, and the D-backs, and where they sit and how people look at them. People look at the Minnesota Twins as that middle to, you know, trying to get to that upper echelon. They're not one of the big spending teams, but they're not down at the bottom and complaining all the time like some of the others. Where does Minnesota fit into the whole strike thing, and where do they fit in on like the verbiage coming out from the Twins themselves?
I mean, in terms of the Twins, the team has been fairly tight-lipped. I mean, obviously, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to talk about certain issues when it comes to the lockout. Players have been very vocal in the fact that they feel like that, you know, the economic disparities are pretty extreme. And the Twins have never been known, and this is just what I don't understand, Steen, is just you've got these teams that are in these markets, but yet they don't spend as much, so they're considered a small market team, when in reality, I mean, Minneapolis is like the 15th or 16th largest media market in the nation. It's hard for me to look at the Twins and say they're a small market team, but yet, based on the fact that they are not really aggressive, or they haven't historically been aggressive in going out and getting top-tier free agents in, you know, spending that money, and they like to build within the farm system, you know, they are, you know, middle of the pack. And you mentioned it. I think they're just, we're not really going to know where the Twins stand. We can look at it, and the optics at times are not good for the Twins. But in terms of what they're saying, they, you know, we haven't heard much coming out of, you know, out of the front office and out of the organization itself. And that, I'm not really that surprised.
On the Minnesota Viking front, Mike Zimmer not being there, just a quick, is that, did you think it was time? Did you think that it was too soon? What was your take on Coach Zimmer?
Yeah, I think the shelf life had expired, and I think towards the end of last season, when he was openly lamenting that he didn't care if Justin Jefferson, you know, was breaking any records, or even the way that he didn't even want to give Kellen Mond, who was a third-round pick last year, he didn't even want to give him a shot. And you started Sean Mannion when it baffled everybody to just see the brazenness and just the way that he was, you know, just openly not even criticizing, but just doubting and not taking into consideration, you know, and I understand he was trying to win games, but a lot of what he said didn't make sense. So I was more surprised at the fact that Rick Spielman was let go as well. But when you look at it, you can't have Rick Spielman in an advisory role and bring in a new general manager and yet have the old general manager, you know, still kind of have some input. I mean, you know, you're not going to get divorced and get remarried and have the ex-wife give the approval to the new wife. I mean, you're not going to do that. That would kind of be what it was. So in terms of that, it was just time for, you know, the Vikings to clean house. And it's definitely going to be a different approach, but there's a lot of optimism. A lot of people are just excited for what this team might do in the future because it's so different than what the Vikings had done in the past.
The Minnesota Vikings are kind of another one of in my petri dish, because I was very vocal that the league has changed so much. Do you have to have a good defense? Yes, but they keep taking away things from the defense and trying to make it an offensive league. And when you have a defensive coach, they're so, I mean, just the word defensive coach means stubborn old man to me. And I thought that they had a little bit of that. How is the new regime and how different they're going to look? And what does that mean for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, we can read between the tea leaves, and we still don't know what it means for Kirk Cousins. I mean, I say there's a 50% chance he gets traded, 40% chance he plays out the season at the $45 million cap hit, and 10% that he gets extended. Like, we really don't have any idea, but the way that they're approaching it is, you know, more from a numbers side and more from the analytical side. And it's very different because Rick Spielman, his strength, I'm using quotations, was scouting. And we're trying to figure out where they want to go. But the you know, they talk about communication and wanting to be more open. And, you know, Mike Zimmer was known as, you know, Eric Kendricks at the end of the season, you know, said that a fear-based culture just doesn't work in today's NFL. So, you know, you start to hear that Spielman and Zimmer weren't talking at the end of the season. You know, they hadn't talked for months. And just last week, you know, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell, I mean, they were at a Timberwolves game, like in a suite, just like a couple of guys just having some beers. And you're like, they just came off as regular guys. So it's so refreshing. But yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. But I mean, obviously teams in the NFL need quarterbacks. And this is Kirk Cousins. If he can create a market for Kirk Cousins, and I believe that there is, I think we'll see some movement on that. I just don't know what that is.
I definitely believe there is, too. Once again, we're talking to Chris Tubbs. He is at CM Tubbs. Okay, since I kind of do this by myself anymore, Jeremy's not here. I haven't talked to you for a while. I need my wrestling fix, okay? So we have about 4 minutes. Get me up to date on what's happening in the wrestling world.
Well, Vince is old, out of touch. WWE creative sucks. AEW is awesome. Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor, and that's going to be, as the kids would say, it's going to be dope. It's going to be lit. I'm glad that we're going in another direction. Like, Vince McMahon he's got serious competition from Tony Khan, and I love it. Like, I haven't felt this good about a potential crossover since 2001, when, you know, Vince out and out bought WCW. So I think that there's some really good things on the horizon if you want to look past the silliness and the staleness that is World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I thought about that, and you know, when things push came to shove and you're trying to do this, and what did Vince do? He brought back Ronda Rousey. I mean, that's an old playbook, and I don't think that, I agree with you, I don't think that playbook plays anymore, and you know, you can't see the same thing over and over again because you can't get a younger audience. And even some of us that are older that grew up with it. I mean, I grew up with wrestling because my grandmother watched it all the time. And I tell people that it's not my fault. It's not my parents' fault. It's my grandmother's fault watching Bulldog Bob Brown in a place that had like four people in it. And I watched it with her all the time. And I'm here, and I've never left. I just, it's exciting, and I tell my wife, she watches her soap opera. That's my soap opera. All it is. That's what it is.
Yeah, and about Tony Khan is the fact that he was a fan, and he's understanding it from a fan's perspective. So he's giving the fans what they would want from that perspective. And that's what makes it, you know, that's what makes it great. You know, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, great. We've seen that like six or seven times. You can't give us that anymore. We're getting fresh ideas. We're getting innovative things from All Elite Wrestling. And if we can see that crossover into Ring of Honor, guess what? That's just another place for, you know, independent guys or guys that can't work in WWE. It's another place for them to work. So to me, I think that, you know, it's old and it's played out. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely optimism. And I think, you know, you could be looking at the upswing with some very fun and creative things if you just give it some time.
We got about 30 seconds. Minnesota college sports, football, I still think you're on the right track. Basketball, where do you think they're going to go?
Well, Richard Pitino just did not do a good job recruiting in state.
Yep.
I mean, Chet Holmgren left, and, you know, Jalen Suggs left, and McKinley Wright left. Keep kids in state, so that will, you know, it'll take a few years, but that men's program will get better. The same thing with the women. You know, Lindsay Whalen, you know.
Good coach.
You just, yeah, she's a great coach. You just got to get the players in there. But they'll be okay, but, you know, they got a few years down the road.
People forget.
There's no Garza-type player, let me say that.
And people forget Paige Becker's from Minnesota as well. So you got to keep those athletes in.
Paige Buckets, yeah.
Yep, Chris, I appreciate it, buddy. It won't be as long next time, I promise you. Thanks for coming on, my friend.
You got it, Steve.
Chris Tubbs. I'm serious. I had just this picture of my grandmother and yelling at the TV, and it put such a big smile on my face. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. B Styles next.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and
17.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Nothing's off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. Hope everybody had a great day. Be very careful driving home today. It's Friday. Everybody's trying to get home. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, website 1700thechamp.com. My next guest is going to be brought to you by BetMGM. If you're going to do some sports betting in the state of Iowa, download the BetMGM app. Deposit at least $10. If you use that $10 bet money line on an NBA game and you use the code STEEN200, if any team that's playing shoots a three-pointer and scores, you win $200 in free bets right then and there. It will be put into your account, and you can continue your betting for as long as you can keep that $200 going. Once again, use BetMGM. It's an easy app to use. It changes the way that you watch sporting events. Remember to gamble responsibly. Remember to gamble only what you can afford to lose. My next guest is at the B Styles. It is Brendan Styles. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. And I was going to say, before we get into stuff about like the Hawkeyes and about the Bulls, because, you know, obviously they got a big game tonight, and Grayson Allen's public enemy number one in Chicago, I do have to get something off of my chest regarding a topic that it's a topic I'm sure you've discussed on your show in the last couple of days regarding the bill that was signed in Iowa yesterday. I would just like to say, I know I live in Minnesota now, but I say this as somebody who is not just an Iowan, but somebody that has been in a position where, as a kid, I've been discriminated against for having something. I was appalled by that bill being signed yesterday, and to me, it reeks of discrimination. And just to give you a background on this, Steen, when I was young, when I was a kid, I was diagnosed with autism, and I don't bring that up to, you know, raise awareness to autism. I mean, that's a conversation you can have on another day at another time. But I bring it up because I know what it's like to be discriminated against, not necessarily by kids, by my peers, but by adults saying, oh, you have this label, so you can't, you don't belong with this group. You don't belong what you do with your peers, being able to do something that you enjoy. And whether it be being in a classroom with other kids my age that, you know, were like me in other ways, but just didn't have the same disability that I had. And I tie it to this because it's something where I think about, and I don't know how many high school athletes there are in the state of Iowa who happen to be trans, but if there is a number, if there is a finite number, I feel bad for them, because what that bill basically taught was, and you saw all those young girls that were standing around Governor Reynolds as she signed that bill, it basically showed that, you know, this kind of hatred, this kind of like, this way to respond to seeing somebody that's different from you, to me, it's just wrong. And it reminds me of like what you would see way back when you had Jim Crow laws, and you would see pictures of young white kids basically being taught to be racist. And I'm sure it's something that if they're still alive today, they look back on it and they're like, man, I wish it wasn't like that. I wish I could have been different. Knowing what I know now, I wish I could have acted different when I was younger. And it's just one of those situations to me that it's just, I feel like if you're going to have this discussion, or if it's a discussion that's going to take place, you know, within communities, it should be decided in the communities. It should be decided in the school districts. It shouldn't be decided by the state.
And I agree. And here's the reason I agree on it. And I don't know enough about both sides. I am kind of a political geek. Mm-hmm. And my political geekness says when you are passing a bill and you don't talk about it, and you don't go out and discuss it, and you don't openly have discussions about it, then it's probably something that you know isn't agreed upon with both sides, mm-hmm. but you continue to do it anyway. I think that type of politics hurts, and I agree with you. There's a lot of people at my age at 56. When you talk about racism and you talk about some of this stuff, it was a different time back then, a way different mm-hmm. time, and yeah. it made it extremely difficult. I went to a school, one of the bigger schools in Polk County area, and I think we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6, 7 black kids, and mm-hmm. I felt bad for them every day because nobody knew any better, and nobody was there helping right. teach. And that's the things that we're supposed to be doing, because, you know, I hear the parents say that, well, the teachers aren't teaching, so, man, I have to do this. And then I see way too many parents that don't have any idea what their kids are learning in school and have no content. Mm-hmm. It's all wrong, B. And what happens when you have something that is a circle like that, no matter what the topic is, if everybody's right. not able to come out and talk about it and do it civilized, which doesn't happen very often. At least that was the great thing mm-hmm. back in my day. They were civilized discussions. They may have been loud, but they were civilized. It's not civilized anymore. So the people that can't protect themselves are the ones that are getting hurt. And that's where I fall into this at, is that mm-hmm. that's the part I don't like. I don't like people getting bullied and I, you know, for any reason. And it happens mm-hmm. and hopefully we can continue to try to chip away at that, but you can't
right.
when you add more onto it. So I do agree with that. And I'm glad you said that. And you know, that puts you in a position to be able to say that, listen, I had this when I was growing up. I felt like maybe at times I wasn't taken care of, and look at me now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something I still live with every day. And you know, and it's, and I'm not, by no means am I trying to like say that I have it as bad or worse than somebody who happens to be trans. I'm not. The point that I'm trying to make in saying this is that what they deal with is stuff that they're going to deal with every day, whether they're allowed to play sports or not. So to just to add this kind of like pain, inflict this on them, it doesn't seem right to me.
And the timing was so wrong because of all the things that we've been mm-hmm. fighting about with vaccines and not vaccines and mask and not mask. And
exactly.
then we kind of snuck that one through without people being able to talk about it. And that's the problem that we right. had with the vaccines and the mask too, because
exactly.
we couldn't hold a civilized conversation
And if I could add,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, if I could add one more thing to this, one unintended consequence, if you will. Let's go back to a few years ago in North Carolina. They passed that bathroom bill. Have the NCAA respond. They moved NCAA tournament games out of Greensboro, North Carolina, moved them to Greenville, South Carolina. You know what happened that year? Duke lost. Duke went to Greensville, and they lost to South Carolina.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen here, too. They're not going to have it here.
I was going to say, they're NCAA tournament games in at the well next year. And I hope they happen. I would love for it to happen. I went in 2019. It was a great time. I covered it in 2016. The people at Wells Fargo Arena are great hosts, and they don't deserve to have that kind of consequence laid onto them. But at the end of the day, like you said, that's something that could very well happen as a result of what happened yesterday.
And that's what happens. And the really funny thing, since I just said that, you know, we went through the vaccination and the masking thing, and it's like these people were so upset about that, but then turn around and do the same thing, except for they're on the winning side this time, or if you want to call that a winning side or a side.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's just – it's so strange. And I said this to my wife. My wife thinks that the reason I love this job so much is because my mom and I debated, and I mean, we would take – the same side, opposite sides, we'd switch sides. I love to debate things, and she does not. But that's one of those things. That is what makes clarity, is you debate things and you try to bring everything out. And we are missing clarity in a lot of things that are going on right now. We don't even have clarity in sports because to lead us into some sports, I see all these different polls and all these different things, and I understand. See, I'm one. We do UNI games. I'm a huge Drake fan. I'm a Missouri Valley fan. You know, Loyola, UNI, and Drake, I mean, they pretty much have to be amazing and win out, or only one of them's going to get to go. And my fight has always been, are those three teams, if you move them to a Power 5 conference, are you telling me that every year they're not going to be able to make the NCAA tournament? And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's true. I think they have talented athletes and they play really well together. And they have the one thing a lot of teams don't have. They have kids that stick around and play 4 years, and a lot of teams don't. And I just think the Power Fives have so much power in this NCAA tournament stuff that it just drives me crazy.
They do, and here's the other thing. When you think about it, too, Drake and Loyola were both in the tournament last year. Drake even won a game.
Yes,
they won the. Granted, you could say okay, they won a playing game, but still, they won a game against Wichita State before they lost to USC,
and didn't play bad against them either.
No, so that like those kinds of schools definitely have shown that they can have staying power, and they can, they can eventually build to something. Just look at Gonzaga. They were once in the same spot 20, 25 years ago, and now you see what they've become. And I would argue that the West Coast Conference probably doesn't have the same amount of resources that the Missouri Valley does.
Yeah, and I would agree with that as well. The biggest thing they have going for them, as we were talking to a bunch of our Las Vegas guys this week on the radio, is they get to have their tournament in Las Vegas. So, I mean, that's pretty exciting for them. Pretty exciting for the Iowa Hawkeyes, men's and women's. Let's start with Caitlin. To get a share of the Big Ten Conference, you're playing a team, a really good team, and she comes out and has a game like that. And you want to say it's a breakout game, but it really wasn't, because she's had them. But it was a breakout game to some people that hadn't seen her. And I think it really changed the narrative on what most valuable player is. And for those groupings still in the Southeast Conference, the most valuable player of your team could be the person that leads you in all those things. The most valuable player in the country is somebody who has those kind of numbers and makes everybody on her team better. And that leaves some of those gals out. What do you think of Caitlin Clark on just that day?
Well, I'll just say this. You mentioned how she makes others better. Look at the ramifications now. Now you see the people who follow the sport way better than you or I do, saying that Iowa's now a top four seed, which means that they would get first and second round games at Carver Hawkeye Arena. That's two additional home games. We weren't talking about that with this team at any point prior to now.
Nope.
But they manage to get those big victories over Indiana and Michigan, and if they can make a run here in the Big Ten tournament this weekend, I think they're in excellent shape to be able to at least get to a Sweet 16. And then from that point, again, the spotlight's going to be on her. And you're at that point, if she's doing the things that make her teammates better as well, then not only is the nation going to be introduced to her success, but they're going to be introduced to the success that Iowa's had as a program for the last several years under Lisa Bluter. And I think it's something where, yeah, I think they're definitely capable of making a deep run, especially if they do get the benefit of having those first two games in Iowa City.
And when you talk about, surprising or whatever, there were a lot of people that when the Murray twins were first being recruited, they're like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, there's no why now. And here's the funny thing, and I saw this the other day, and I thought of you, is if Keegan goes, what says that Chris can't put those same numbers up that
exactly.
Keegan's putting up right now? Because when you watch them, they're exactly the same. One is just, I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know what it is. It's just easier right now for one of them, not both of them.
Absolutely. And I feel like it's one of those things where if you're Iowa, the best case scenario is if Keegan does go, that Chris could pick up right where he left off. And you don't really end up missing a beat there. I'll say this. Both of them playing as well as they have of late, it's been huge for them at this point. And you talk about where they are now, where they have a chance to possibly get a double bye if they win on Sunday going into the Big Ten tournament. That's not something I would have foreseen for this team at any point this season. And I have to give you a lot of credit, Steen, because you were one of those guys who was telling me after last year when they lost to Oregon in the NCAA tournament that you thought this year's team could potentially be better. And they're at a point now, they have this, granted, they had fewer games last season, but they already won the same number of games to this point this year. And they've done it with, obviously Keegan Murray has potential to be Big Ten Player of the Year. I don't know if he'll be National Player of the Year like Luka was last year, but to lose two guys to the NBA like they did and to basically not only not miss a beat, but possibly be better, I think it says a lot about, the growth that those guys have made, but also it says a lot about Fran McCaffrey as a coach as well.
We got about 30 seconds. I wanted to make a argument for Fran McCaffrey, and I tried with David, and I was going to try with you. Then I looked at Greg Gard and what they had and what he's done at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's Greg Gard's award. I mean, he deserves it. I mean, he had a team that is even more surprising than what Iowa was. So I get that one. But I hope Iowa, they win, they get that double bye. I don't know who's stopping them. And then they just need to hold their heads up high and play hard and see what happens. So I'm excited.
And at that point, they can maybe get a 6 seed and they avoid having to play a one or two in those early rounds that first weekend.
Buddy, I'm glad you came on today. I'm glad you said what you did.
Yep.
I think when you and I do radio together and we don't know what we're going to talk about, it's pretty darn good radio. So I appreciate it, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks again. And real quick, I want to give a happy birthday shout to my sister, Jade. Jade, if you're listening, happy birthday. And I'll talk to you next week, Steve.
All right, buddy. Happy birthday. I'll be right back.
When she was just 3 years old, Serena Williams started taking daily tennis
to Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. Last segment of this Friday. Hope everybody is making it home safe. Enjoy the weekend. Watch some basketball. Plenty to be seen. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. Want to thank both of my guests today, Chris Tubbs, B Styles. It was great talking to both of them. I haven't talked to Tubbsy for a long time, and I enjoy Minnesota sports. And I just have to give a shout-out to Brendan coming in and opening up a little bit. That's a big deal. And wanting to do it on the show and probably knowing that it's something that I am perfectly fine talking about. And it probably needs to be talked about, and I'm glad he did, and I thought it was really good. Also want to thank our sponsors. First off is Build My Future. It's at the Iowa State Fairgrounds, April 13th through the 22nd. It is hands-on skilled trades event. Meet employers and try job-specific skills in industries like manufacturing, commercial and residential construction, restaurant, culinary, hospitality, automotive, mechanic, law enforcement, emergency services, military, healthcare, IT, trucking and logistics, energy, and so much more. I had someone ask me the other day, okay, trucking and logistics. Well, here's the really cool thing. My father drove truck pretty much his entire life. And it was difficult on him. It was physically difficult. Nowadays, the way logistics and everything are, I mean, it's just like your car. It's like it's driving itself, and a majority of the things that the truckers are doing is picking up loads and dropping loads. They're not unloading and waiting to be loaded. It's just pick up and drop off. It's a totally different thing, and something that people need to take a look at. Go to www.iowaskilledtrades.com. Or you could go to Brandon at dsmhba.com, and he'll give you some information on it, too. But it's April 13th. We'll talk more about it. It's at the fairgrounds. I think that's a really, really good thing. Okay, other sponsors, Woodman Controls, Laser Home Services, Northwest Bank, BetMGM. I want to thank all of them for being a part of the show. I appreciate them coming on. I think we have some of the same we have the same type of outlook. Let's put it that way. And we fit well. And I appreciate that very much, because it's not it's not easy going out. We're still trying to recover and all that, and trying to get sponsors that fit your need and understand what you want to do and how you want to do it. It's fun when people want to be a part of that process. So I appreciate that a lot. I think I hit everybody on that one. Just to go through some quick notes, because time flies. I can't believe this is the last segment today. I did see this today, and this is a part of one of my continuing struggles with professional sports, and probably even diving into college and maybe even to high school. It's the opioid, just huge problem that we had. The Sackler family, it's Sackler, who were largely responsible for bringing the opioid epidemic into mainstream. Today, or I think I wrote this on Wednesday, they were fined $6 billion. I don't know if $6 billion is enough. The amount of deaths because of opioid addiction is probably far more than that. And how it affected those families down the road a little bit, probably even more than that. But it's a start, and that's all we can hope for. It is a huge problem. It's a problem that the NFL especially needs to have conversations with its players union and try to figure out a better way. I don't care if it's marijuana. I don't care if it is some new type of whatever. It needs to be discussed, and our health of something that we love to watch as much as we do NFL. NFL is a multi-billion dollar corporation. You need to help the people that make it that. It's not the owners. It's not the coaches. It's the players. We don't cheer for coaches. We hate coaches or love coaches. We hate owners or love owners, but probably more the latter. It's the players, and you need to take care of them, and I don't know how good of a job they're doing. They had a list out today of the most recognizable drivers, Bubba Wallace, and it was the most recognizable drivers in NASCAR, Bubba Wallace. So Michael Jordan, Bubba Wallace, McDonald's, all of that have done a really good job. He's having a pretty good year. That is what can help Bubba Wallace take his spot in social media elite, which he will, you have to win races and you have to be good. So those are the two things. Once again, for all those people out there that think Tyler Linderbaum, his hands are too small and his arms are not long enough, and stop it. This guy was amazing. He's going to dominate in the NFL. Stop. Here's one more, which just gets me into the ownership group here. Players who are locked out by owners. That's how it is. The players didn't strike. They were locked out. They have started so far they have $1 million, and they're donating money to team employee stadium workers who are not going to get paid because they're not playing baseball. Didn't see the owners thinking outside the box, looking to do that. So very interesting to see how that's going to work out. I don't know who got this stat, but this is a crazy stat, and I wanted to make sure I got this in today because it's spring football time. I heard Coach Campbell on the radio today at a Coaches Association event at Prairie Meadows. He said that at 4 o'clock they start their spring football, early spring football stuff. It's fun. I can't believe this. Iowa State football has won or lost by fewer than 14 points in 62 out of their last 64 games. Think about that. No wonder I don't have any hair. That's a lot. That's 5 seasons of games less than 14 points in a win or a loss. That means that you're a pretty solid football team, right there. If you dislike the transfer portal last year after COVID, I don't think you're going to be impressed with the transfer portal this year. I don't know if it's going to be as many. I don't think that's even possible, but I think the transfer portal is still going to be an issue. Do I think it's a bad issue? No. Do I think it's an issue that needs to be talked about and maybe developed more? Yes, but they need to have the same type of maneuverability that coaches do. Until that happens, I don't want to hear anybody. Because if the coach leaves, I don't want to hear that they committed to the university and they committed to the school and not the athletic program. If they're in the athletic program, they committed to a coach or an individual on the coaching staff. Nobody else even talked to them. Don't tell me that they're a part of the university and that it's not the same, because it is. They were recruited. Look up the definition. A lot of kids go to Iowa, Iowa State, you and I, and Drake. And Simpson. They didn't want to leave out anybody. And they go there because they want to go there. Were they openly recruited to go there? No. They wanted to go there because, oh, my brother went there. Oh, this person went there. Oh, my best friend's going. I'm going with him or her. These individuals that are in the athletic programs at your schools were recruited to come play athletics. And they get the ability to go to school like everybody else. But they're not like anybody else. Their days are different. Their nights are different. Their weekends are different. Don't tell me that they are the same as everybody else. That is a stupid argument. It doesn't hold water, and it doesn't win. And I heard this the other day, too. Well, presidents of universities leave, too. Yes, they retire or die. Not very many presidents of college or universities leave their college or university. Stop it. Ugh. I'll tell you what. I don't know. I amuse myself sometimes. I'm sorry about that. Okay, I'm better. You are listening to Scene on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Have a great weekend. I'll see you on Monday.